Thank you. Ramnik Shah, I'm a fellow. We're all glad that you came through your ordeal, and you're here to tell
Thanks.
A tale.
It's good to be
and,
here.
And also that you didn't have to go through the conversion process.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But can I just take you up to another level? Before you arrived, Jon Snow was talking about Annapolis.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
And so if you take a longer view
yeah.
of all that has happened. I mean, we
yeah.
had Oslo, and we had Camp David, and we had Clinton and Rabin and Arafat. And so the scenario is the same. The
yeah.
players
yeah.
are different.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you actually take an even longer view back into history, we have had Israel for 60 years, and we've had the displacement of the Palestinians for that long. And we have had a 30-year peace process, because don't forget, it started with Menachem Begin and Sadat coming together 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So do you think that 5 years down the line, we will perhaps see another Mr. Johnston emerging from the same kind of...
Yeah, you know, I would... so much like this Annapolis thing to catch fire, and just reading it through this morning again, just hoping and wondering, could this be just the beginning of something better? But I'm afraid that I don't think there's enough in place really to be optimistic. And the sad thing is that I guess I went to the Middle East with very little optimism and left with even less. You know, I just feel there's so many reasons for that, but this division in the Palestinian camp at the moment between Hamas and Fatah is an appalling thing, you know, for the, not just for the Palestinians, for anybody who's serious about the whole process going usefully forward. In my view, Hamas is just too strong and to a degree too representative to be just entirely excluded. That you just can't make peace, I feel, with Fatah in the West Bank and call that peace in Palestine. At some point, those, and God knows I know exactly what Hamas is and its approach to targeting civilians in the past and now and all the rest of it. And I mean, and I can genuinely respect the moral position which says these people, on account of various tactics of theirs, put them beyond the pale. We don't need to sit down with people like that. Perhaps there were people who would have said the IRA bombed our pubs and we don't speak to people like that. And that, as I say, is a completely morally coherent and respectable position. But I would say that along with it, you probably need to understand that Hamas can't be kind of wished away. And if they are utterly at loggerheads with the Fatah camp that is talking to the Americans, it's hard to see anything sticking. And just on the broadest level here, you know, if the Israelis, in the sort of best case scenario for the Palestinians, if the Israelis left every inch of the West, occupied West Bank, every alleyway of occupied East Jerusalem along with Gaza, that would leave the Palestinians with 22% of the land from the river to the sea. They are saying the Israelis can have 78%, or at least that's what their Abbas is saying at the moment. And selling that 22% is not easy in the camps of Gaza, I tell you that now, and persuading Hamas that somehow that might be enough. On the other side of the fence, you know, I've been in those camps and those alleyways with those fighters and the kind of people that had me. And there are people in the Palestinian camp that suggest it is only about the occupation. The occupation ends and it's kind of, that's it. That's the problem. And certainly it's a very large part of the problem. But there are militants who are not fighting right now for 22%. They're fighting for something much more. And I think it would be hard to rein them in, to make any deal stick, to satisfy them with 22%. The other thing is...
But surely that's a position you can afford when you're in a complete vacuum and nobody will speak to you. Is there not a faction within Hamas that you could talk to and you could start a process?
Part of my problem is that I was taken rather out of the loop on March the 12th, and I'm not any longer
speaking to... Well, I'm just wondering about the cabinet that you had breakfast with.
Yeah, you know, right, it is something like 9 months since I had Since I could do serious journalism around Hamas, I have to say, you know, and quite where people are, where moderates might be engageable and where they might not be.
I'm
just not up to, for example, but I do know, for example, the figure that we know best in the West, Ghazi Hamad, has been, it looks to me as if he's been rather shouldered out of it, which you would suggest that the more radical, more hardcore figures are more in the ascendancy. And I would suggest that the way, not talking to Hamas and kind of economically isolating them is one thing, but the whole of Gaza is being so extraordinarily blockaded at the moment that I just feel that a certain degree of radicalization is almost bound to go on within Hamas and within certain elements within Gazan society. I think this immense pressure on Hamas will strip away the kind of floating voters, the people that went for them because they were so sick of Fatah. These are people that just want to raise their kids and live, and they're not Hamsawi, as they say in Gaza, in their hearts, and they would quite quickly see that Hamas is only going to lead to endless agony, and they would move away from Hamas, I'd expect, politically. But I think that the hard core of Hamas, which is always going to find the money, they're certainly determined enough, is only likely to get tougher and more recalcitrant.